Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Once again, the No Chill Podcast is brought to you by Life Recovery Water, offering up three tasty, thirst-quenching blends guaranteed to refuel your body while satisfying your palate. All three flavors rehydrate the body with the necessary electrolytes such as potassium, magnesium, phosphorus, and calcium. These electrolyte properties are vital to any athlete or sports enthusiast after a tough workout or training session. Replenishing the body with an all-natural product is always the best form of recovery. Life Recovery Water. Go get some today. On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we get into what it takes to play in the college game as it compares to the pro level. This dynamic young Duke team is turning heads early, and we're also being introduced to a new Coach K. As for Zion Williamson, he has exceeded early expectations, but Gil has some questions about his game translating to the NBA. We also take a look at the option of a year in the G League with a $125,000 contract for top prospects, as opposed to a year in college. Is it actually a good deal, or are you better off with a year on campus? Speaking of staying on campus, we look at the return of LaMelo Ball to a high school squad. For Gil, it is the right move by Melo to stay on track to the NBA. If and when he gets there, what kind of player will he be? A lot to figure out, a lot to get into. The No Chill Podcast is back, and if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe on Apple Pod, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And also check out the No Chill channel on YouTube. So Gil, you played college basketball.
Definitely.
And you played NBA basketball.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So this is the time of year, college basketball, getting started, NBA basketball, full swing.
Mm-hmm.
We get to compare the two. And I think a lot of people see college basketball and they project the NBA on these kids. It's not that yet, right? And I think a lot of things that get lost in the conversation is college basketball is way different from the style of play in the NBA.
Yes, yeah, some players who are average college player can translate into superstars in the NBA. Some superstars in college cannot translate their game into the next level because, you know, you got athleticism, the ability to score one-on-one. You got to remember, if you're a one-on-one player, college hurts you because they can play zone against you and pack the lane up, and it takes away from your ability to actually get into the lane. So there's a lot of factors that go in with translating your college game into the pros, because you got to remember, most dominant college players – are dominant because it's just them. You know, when you're in NBA, it's all NBA players. So it's kind of...
It's that big fish in a small pond mentality, right?
Yeah.
So, or you peak early in college. Some guys just...
Yeah, I mean, some players just can't translate their NBA game. Like, they're fundamentally sound in college, or they're just more athletic than everybody else in college. You know, I got to remember.
But those are kids.
You got to remember, 18, it's 19 kids.
19-year-olds, yeah.
Most of the college kids are not developed anyway. So a developed college kid will dominate, you know, his peers.
What's more developed in the NBA? Physically, their athleticism or their technique and skill?
Athleticism. You got to remember, you can be a freak of nature in college and you're average in the NBA. Unless you're just a super fucking phenom.
The freak of all time, yeah. Freaks, mm-hmm. Right. What about the NBA game did young players not know? The speed of the game,
situation? Speed, length, and again, athleticism. You don't really understand that everyone is athletic. Everyone is a top player. Like, you got to remember, that guy who's sitting on the bench who's number 15 – he's a superstar in college, you know. Right. What I mean, you know, you're taking the cream of the crop and putting him in the NBA. So it's not as easy as it looks.
And I'm a basketball fan, mm-hmm. and I hate when people say like this guy sucks. I went to a Clippers game the other night, and everyone's on a different guy because he sucks this or that or whatever. And it's like at this level, watching the Timberwolves, right? So mm-hmm. Wiggins, they're like, oh, Wiggins sucks, man, he can't shoot, whatever. And I'm telling you something, Wiggins is a monster.
Yes,
you know?
I mean he is. But
there's things he can get better at. More things you want him to do, but he doesn't suck.
No, he's an NBA, so yeah. He doesn't suck. No, he doesn't
suck. But fans saying that a guy sucks, like, come on.
Because a fan thinks everyone is a superstar. Everyone is the mega of the mega. No, you still have to fill out a roster.
Right, but also LeBron misses free throws. Like, just because you are the best in the game doesn't mean you have deficiencies in your game.
It's called being a pro.
Right, it's called
a career.
Playing basketball, yeah, right.
You know, you can't make every shot. You can't miss every shot, you know.
But I think the incredible thing is when you see a young guy come into the league and they acclimate right away. Like in football, I think that's really hard to do because when you go from college, like you said, they're less of an athlete that a pro is. And you see a guy like Baker Mayfield come on the field and just make plays immediately. Like that's really impressive. That's when you know a guy is going to make it. You know,
it's a skill set. I mean, a kid, the person's skill set, you know, it's what he possesses in his game that gives him that pro advantage. You know, the shots he's take, how he plays the game. So that's what I said. He could be an average, okay player in college because you got to remember, you know, somebody like Trae Young, and he had a great start in college and then he fell off.
Hot run. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he only fell off because you're triple teaming him.
Right, right.
You're quadruple teaming the kid. Yeah, I mean, that's not going to happen in the NBA because there's four other stars on a team where you have to play the kid one-on-one. Now, when you're playing one-on-one, now he's back to his superstar caliber play. So you can see what he looks like.
But don't you think people are just, right now, more than ever, they care about are numbers and stats. They just look at stats and numbers. I guess highlights too, but... And as a player, you know, like I had a good game. Maybe I didn't dominate. You know, maybe I wasn't 15 for 15 from the field, but I had a damn good game and we won. I might have only had 14 points, but those points mattered.
That depends on, I mean, your coaching and your team understands that. Fans don't understand it.
Right.
You know, the fans want to hear, you know, if you have a bad game, the smartest thing to say now is great team win. You know? You know, if you didn't score 45.
That's a media trained answer.
Great team win.
And you know, we played hard today.
You know, but the star player cannot.
I'm really proud of these guys.
Yeah, a guy cannot perform at that level 82 games, you know. But that's what separates the superstar versus an all-star versus just a regular star. Out of 82 games, your superstar is going to play. He's going to come to play 76 to 72. Your all-star, 65 to 60, and then everybody else goes under. That's how you can tell who's the elite.
Mm-hmm.
Is how often can they perform at that level?
Consistency is key, mm-hmm. I think. Who was a guy, I think, a guy that comes to mind for me that was, like you said, an average player that made it to the NBA that didn't have that supreme level of athleticism or skill, but they had enough game to make it work for a long career? Mike Dunleavy Jr., I think, was a good example of that. Kind of did everything well.
Now he was a Duke. Okay. He was a Duke.
Well, all right, you think you're Duke?
I'm sorry. Yeah, he was a Duke player. You know, it's you're a very solid player.
Right.
You know, that was my guy growing up. He was a very solid player. You remember, he was a number two pick, number three pick.
So you think? Okay, so he was taken high, but as far as his game goes,
you got to go players like someone like Joe Johnson. Did you even hear about him in college? No,
but yeah, I mean, okay. I think he was an all-star.
Sean Mayer in college? No, you didn't hear about Joe Johnson in college.
I'm talking about as an NBA player.
What I'm saying is
they were an average player.
There was an average college player turns into superstar. Sean Marion, didn't know about him in college. Huh. Boom, superstar type of player. That's what I'm saying. It's that transition. Like, their game might not have stood out in college, but it translated into the NBA. Richard Jefferson on my team. He was our third. I mean, he was probably either third or fourth on a depth chart of, you know, getting the ball and scoring. Yeah, he was very athletic. He was the super stud when it came to athleticism, but when it came to him getting the ball and the roll, he was fourth. You know, on our team, he was drafted in front of everybody.
Yeah, 13th overall.
Yeah, he was drafted. He was a lottery pick.
But like those guys, Marion or Joe Johnson or Jefferson, they had something about them that they weren't one of those guys that peaked early.
No, they just had something. They were late bloomers, and by
the time they had enough athleticism or size or whatever you want to draft them for to get drafted high and develop once they got to the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is better to be a late bloomer, right?
It ain't blooming late. It's just...
It's a good thing to be a late bloomer.
No, what I'm saying is there's no... It's not blooming late or blooming. It's a skill level. Like your skill level that you're athletic, Sean Marion or Richard Jefferson, and everyone sits in a lane on you, you can't be athletic. Well, the fact that the NBA is open floor, your athleticism now works. That's the difference.
And I also think guys like Mateen Cleaves, four-year pro national or four-year at Michigan State national championship, star player in college. By the time he got to the NBA, he didn't really go to another gear that you need to.
Because size, speed, he just didn't translate.
Didn't have a consistent jump shot.
It just didn't. You were a solid college player. I mean, it just didn't. You know, you're supposed to be the next Magic Johnson, but you're not 6'9".
So what is college basketball now? The whole one and done, and guys go there that you know they are going to be a pro, but they can't go to the NBA straight out of high school. What do you see the college game as? What should it be?
Just a pit stop. It's always been a pit stop, though.
But what if, okay, so what if I'm good enough to get a full ride to Arizona? I'm not probably going to be a pro, but I can be a six man and, you know, play there for 4 years on a scholarship. There's a benefit to that.
But that's what I said. At the end of the day, no matter if they put a rule in or not, it's always been the same thing. Your elite players, one to seven players, are going to go after their first year. It's just a pit stop. I mean, it's always been. Your elite,
yeah, but back in the day, though.
It's always been. Your elite is not staying in school. What is the benefit of me sitting in school for 3 to 4 years?
Well, back in the day, though, I think that was just ingrained in a player's head was I'm going to commit to this school and I'm going to be a Georgetown Hoya, like Lonzo Mourning or Patrick.
How long did Magic Johnson stay in college?
Yeah, that's one guy.
Okay.
Hear me out.
How long did Jordan
in the days
stay in
of the Big East rivalry or, you know, Duke Carolina, those guys were there for three. Jordan was there for 3 years. The idea of going from 1 year to the NBA, it's from college to the NBA, didn't really come into effect until the 90s. When everyone's
when you're ready. When you're ready. I mean, some players, that's what I said, some players develop better. Bird, how long did Bird stay?
He was 2 years.
When you're ready.
Right.
You know, that's just how it is. It's just now everyone just says, you know what? Why am I going to spend my time in college learning college basketball when I can just hurry up and play against these pros now?
Right. I think the difference is now they're accelerating the process.
Yeah.
So if you show me, okay, you were good for, you know, even Trae Young, he was good immediately. So it was, all right, he's a lottery pick. It's what team is going to take him, you know, and where they're going to take him. And then he fell off a little bit and hurt his draft stock, but still he was a lottery pick.
But that's what I said. I don't even know why his draft stock got hurt. It's like, yeah, of course a guy's numbers are going to drop if you're throwing three people at him.
Right. But I think at, you know, as of January of last year, he was a top three pick. Then after the tournament was on,
I mean,
five or something.
Then height and all of that's going to kick in and other players are going to excel. I mean, typical draft.
Right. Right. So the team everyone's talking about now, and it's very early in the season, but from what we've seen, I think there's just a lot of hype and a lot of anticipation to see this group together, this Duke team. What do you think of this freshman class that Coach K has? I know how you feel about Duke, but
no, I mean, I hate Coach K, period. But
yes,
that's
well chronicled.
Because, I mean, the fact that now he's getting one and dones is so beneath who he was back then.
He's a changed man.
Yeah. He's a changed man after he got the USA job. Mm-hmm. And then the USA job gets him all these top recruits because before he wasn't recruiting ones and duns because he wanted those 3 year, 4 year type of players. So besides that, besides me personally not liking him, I mean, when three of the top five recruits went there, you knew they were about to be dangerous. I mean, that was just going to be a fact. you know, you got the top three recruits going to the same school. So you knew they were going to be a dangerous team.
But the other schools like Kentucky, to me, the best recruiting schools are Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas. And I think there's like a step below that, like a Carolina, Arizona. But it's what's changed for Coach K, I think he's really bought into, because of Team USA, positionless basketball. And is saying, fine, just give me the best athletes in the country.
As I said, now, because he wanted to compete with the Kentuckys, the Memphis, or, you know, Memphis when Calipari was there.
It's Kentucky now.
Yeah. You wanted to compete with a guy who was getting the ones and done. So a kid who was forced to go to college says, yo, hey, come here. I'm one and done. Get you into the pros. All the top recruits want to go there. Now, Coach K gets to use, oh, I coach USA basketball, LeBron. He gets to tell his little dickhead stories about LeBron and Kobe and how they played well for him. And now he gets to accept those ones and dones with the fact that he coached USA basketball and he has a straight line into the NBA and possibly help them on a USA team when it's their time.
I mean, oh, so he's setting them up for Team USA.
So you can set them up for Team USA and all of this. You have a pipeline of success, but and an easier way to grab all these kids.
I think there was a time, though, that he saw Calipari or Patino, or he let them have the one and done. Yeah, he said, guess what? I'm trying to win championships here at Duke. I'm building championship teams. It's a championship program. Now, obviously he wants to win a championship, but is he cool?
But think about it. At the end of the day, if this guy is taking all the top recruits every single year out of your hand because he accepted the one and done, at some point you're going to have to change. And that's what I'm saying. USA Basketball, that title that gave him USA Basketball, that changed. Now when he gets to go into these kids' homes, hey, one and done. Hey, and when you're good enough, I'll make sure I can help you with that USA basketball because, hey, I'm the coach. Mm-hmm. You know, so it helps him in recruiting. So with this team, when you have three players in the top five in their high school class, you put them on the same court, they're going to dominate. And they're going to run through, you know, college basketball.
As they did right away with Kentucky. And Kentucky ranked ahead of them. I think teams like Kansas and Kentucky ranked ahead of them. They're going to leapfrog them now. And for a college kid, for these 18, 19-year-olds, how is this going to change their season, you know, as far as the pressure that comes with that? And, you know, every game is going to be an event and everything's going to be on, you know, House of Highlights and SportsCenter and things like that.
I mean, you know, they're the rock star of college right now. You know, you got three guys who are just going to run through, you know, teams. And that they're playing together is like the crazy part. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, the Golden State of college.
I was going to say Miami Heat, the LeBron, D. Wade, Bosch, Miami Heat.
Yeah.
That version.
But that team was beatable.
We'll see if they're beatable. I don't know.
I mean, this team.
Are they going to run the table? Are you going to say they're going to go undefeated?
Put it like this. The team that beats them won't be as talented as them when it comes to that. It'd be one of those teams that, you know, basically pick them apart, you know.
You know what I can't wait for?
Play by play.
The Carolina
team. They'll blow through Carolina too. They're going to blow through athletic players because they're super athletic. And then because they're all interchangeable players, you know, makes it kind of hard to stop them too.
Right. I don't think to get back to the Golden State comparison, I don't think they shoot like that.
Not shooting.
You're talking about dominance.
I'm just dominance. Yeah. They're just that more talented than everybody else.
Okay. So the guy everyone's talking about because of all those highlights, we'll get to him right now, Zion. What do you think of him so far?
As a freak of nature, I think he's that. You know, I see the comparisons of, you know, him, LeBron, he's the next one.
There's always a next one, right? Like, Simmons is the next one.
My only thing with him, it has nothing to do with his skill level, in a sense. It's what does he play in the next level is my biggest question. You know, at a legit 6'6", not 6'8", not 6'7". If you look at any picture, Barrett, RJ, is 6'7".
Right.
Zion is smaller than him. Zion is 6'6".
But he's also a legit 285.
Okay. 6'6", 285.
That's a big boy. That's a big body.
Where do I put you?
It's a good question. That is the question around him. And you know, can he shoot consistently?
Where do I play you at? Like, you're smaller than your shooting guard on your team. I know he gets a lot of hype. You was ranked 5th in high school. You're not necessarily the best player on your Duke team. Yeah, you're the most freakish. You're the one everyone's coming to see.
Yeah, he's a showstopper. I'm not saying he's the best on the team, but we're going to talk about him because I think there's a lot of questions around him, and he's really interesting, mm-hmm. compelling. But, you know, if you say it depends on which team he goes to in the NBA, right? So let's say the Knicks suck, right? So Porzingis is out this year. Let's say they get KD as a free agent. They have Porzingis. All right, they have Kevin Knox. They have all this length and size. So he can play around a team like that with a roster like that where he's protected by their length and size. He can be that bully, that athlete, and that team can just run all day. So on the half court, they're protected with their size and length.
If you're a general manager, are you drafting a 6'6", 270 power
285.
Forward? Well, I mean, you making him bigger makes it worse. Because it's not like he's Cousins and he can hold that weight at 6'11". You're 6'6", 285.
Okay, Charles Barkley. Six six. We have agreed on before we start rolling that he is 6'6", not 6'4".
Because
we saw photos where he's eye to eye with Jordan.
Uh-huh.
But that size and what he did as an undersized power forward.
But if you look at back in the 80s and 90s when they were playing, all the power forwards were 6'6", 6'8", 6'7".
All of them. Yes. But, I mean, he would go against David Robinson, Karl Malone.
Guys, David Robinson was a center. Ewing. Karl Malone was their center.
He would body those guys up.
Yeah, because he was
fast. He's that big ass.
But what I'm saying
is his size. Another one, Moses Malone.
Okay, but if all the power forwards are 6'8", 6'9", someone that's 6'6", can survive. In today's game, those power forwards are basically all sitting at 7 foot, all sitting at 6'10 and a half. Your three men are all 6'11", 6'10". Your two men are 6'9". That's where when people say positionless basketball, it's positionless because the Greek the Freak is 6'11", playing a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, you have length now. So everyone is basically the same height. Small ball is considered small because Your two, three, four are all 6'9" even. So you can just interchange all these guys. But that's what I'm saying. At 6'6", where do I play him? He's technically Westbrook, but not a point guard.
Right.
He's not a shooting guard. Like, if he's a shooting guard or a point guard, I'm saying, oh, fuck, this is Westbrook 3.0 when he comes in that lane and dribbles and comes off the, like with somebody like Zach LaVine. Yeah, you were a shooting guard in college. All I do is just now say, hey, give you the basketball. Like Andre Barrett, you're a shooting guard at Duke. You're gonna be a point guard in the NBA. 6'7" point guard, unstoppable. So you're gonna play the 1 and the 2. Perfect. Cam, he's gonna be the shooting guard or 3.
To me, Cam is the more clear cut 2-3, we know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He can play 2-3. Barrett's going to play 1-2-3.
Barrett. I mean, we agree? Right now, he's number one overall.
Yeah, you just player, you right? Give him the ball and say, do what you do.
Yeah, of that hardened mold where he can bring the ball up.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
A shot for himself.
And that's what I said. Is as dominant as Zion is, it's like where do I put him?
But this Duke team is fun to watch. Is dominant. We know what Cam in. Barrett are. I think the questions around Zion are the most fun to talk about.
Yeah, because
he, to me, you know who he is? He has that Barkley size and that physicality. Sean Kemp with the vertical and the athleticism.
6'10". Mm-hmm.
I didn't say size. I'm talking
size matters. I don't give a fuck.
Like,
if you're tall, like you can be Sean Kemp all you want, but you're fucking 4 inches smaller. That's a big fucking difference.
Yeah. But if you combine these, and I'm not saying he's even these guys when his they have he has a long way to go. Like, these guys were all stars, superstars. So big shoes to fill there. But in another guy, I see Zach Randolph, who zero athleticism, way more skill, but also has that lefty banger, could play, you know, with guys.
6'9", but that's what I'm
6'9"?
Saying. 6'9"? He's 6'9".
Not huge. Zeebo, not huge.
But you're a big man.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about eight. This is a legit guard
mm-hmm.
who's in a big man position. So it tells you that he was probably 6'4", 6'5", his freshman year, and he was just bigger than everyone.
Yeah.
And he just didn't grow anymore.
I mean, the kids that he was jumping over.
But I'm just saying, he didn't grow anymore. So it didn't, like, someone wasn't smart enough to say, you know what, he might end up being guard side. He might end up just staying at 6'6". We need to teach him how to be a shooting guard or a point guard.
Well, he was. He was a point guard. He would handle. I don't know how tall he was as a freshman. I think he was like 6'2".
See, so like when he first got listed, they listed him his junior year 6'8". And I'm like, oh, shit, he is just like LeBron when LeBron was a junior. See, everyone looks at Google.
Everyone looks at Google.
Everyone looks at Google. And they think the heights on Google are actually real heights. Yeah, they're real heights when they get measured in.
Do they measure you in shoes or barefoot?
Shoes and barefoot.
When? Combine.
Combine. So
they do both.
Yeah. So when LeBron came into the league, he was listed as 6'8". Mm-hmm. He was 18 years old. Uh-huh. LeBron, around 21 years old, was no longer fucking 6'8".
Yeah.
He is 100% legit 6'10". Like, so when you say, oh, man, LeBron is 6'8", he's 6'8". Fuck no. He is not close to 6'8". LeBron is a legit 6'10". So when you look at pictures of him sitting next to Cantor and they're eye-to-eye and Cantor's 6'11", or you sit him next to Bosch and Bosch is 6'11", and they're eye-to-eye and you see he's damn near taller than, you know, Kevin Love, and Kevin Love is 6'10". LeBron is not 6'8". The NBA doesn't update. They don't update the goddamn Wikipedia. Stats,
yeah.
They don't check. They don't do the Google. Like, if you look at, you know, Kevin Durant, they got Kevin Durant still at 6'9".
Yeah.
I think
Durant wants to be listed as 6'9".
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. These guys are much bigger than what people think they are. The only true heights are mostly point guards like Chris Paul and, you know, someone who ain't grown. Westbrook is
not. I think that works the other way, that they're shorter and they want to list him tall. Like, it's weird that you want to be tall, but then they list you.
Like Westbrook is not 6'3". Westbrook is about 6'5 and a half, 6'6". Green is not 6'8". you know, Green is at least 6'10", 6'9". He is on the 6'10". He's there. He's not fucking 6'8", like people say. It's like, these guys are really big. They're not smaller.
But the thing that infatuates me now is this weight question. How to use that weight as an advantage. You don't really need it in the NBA.
You don't. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen with him. Mm-hmm. After this season's over with, the reports are going to come out that he's too heavy. Because you got to remember, you're 6'6", and you weigh more than Cousins.
Right.
That is actually a problem. You're heavy, you're big, and then with the NBA, the way the NBA is, you're going to gain weight. You got to remember, the older you get, the more weight you gain. So, safely to say, he's going to have to get under the 250, 245 area.
But back to the benefit of the college system, I think that will help him, because I think a place like Duke, they have the resources and the facilities and the staff that'll get him on a diet, get him training, but
they're pushing him to get weight heavier. That's how he gained so much weight.
Lifting. I don't think he gained weight. I think he came in like that.
No, that man was hitting them weights.
At 285, I don't think he.
That man was pushing that iron.
Yeah, I think he'll slim down. So what do you say for the combine? Let's call it, like, he should be at 270.
250.
That's a lot. That's a hell of a lot of weight to lose.
You're 6'6". I don't think you're understanding the difference. Like,
no, but I'm saying you can't to lose all that weight. You know, you want to try to lose some weight, right? That's hard to do.
Okay, let's take his weight at 270. Does he post up? No.
So the fuck?
No, he doesn't.
He does.
Who? When have you seen him post up in the game?
Right now.
Not. Don't give me some high school post up.
No.
When are you seeing him? They throw the ball in the block to him.
Yeah. He's using that wide body.
No, he's slashing and cutting and fast break, mm-hmm. and that's where you see him. Catching lobs, catching it off the backboard. He's not actually getting the ball in the post and running the post play for him. So that means his weight does not mean anything, because who are you going to be backing down?
I don't think he even has to back guys down. It's one dribble, one move at this point. He's so raw.
Yeah, I get, but that's what I said. I get that, but the problem is where am I putting him at? Because he is in the NBA. He's a guard.
That's a post move right there. Post it up.
Look at that.
Watch. Yeah. Entry pass.
Mm-hmm.
One dribble. Boom. Fake.
Yeah. Who is he doing? Who is he doing that on? What 7-footers is he doing? Everyone.
Kentucky's 7-footer. Look.
Okay. Name one team in the NBA. You're going to have 3 people jumping at that.
Name one team what?
Got to remember, in high school, he didn't have to post up. So basically, he can only go towards the middle or towards the baseline, depending on what side he's on. Everyone's long. That's what I'm saying. Everyone's big in the NBA.
So what are you saying? In the NBA, he won't get isolated like that.
In the NBA, this go baseline and try to jump over it. That doesn't work. Everyone does that. Especially for a star player. If you're saying, okay, yeah, he's going to come in and just, you know, be a PJ Tucker or, you know, with a Draymond Green style. I can pick him with fucking pick number 20 with that. But to be a 1-2-3 mm-hmm. pick, I don't. But like, I to be the next LeBron, I don't.
Or the other guy, Blake Griffin was the comparison.
Yeah, yeah. Someone said, oh, he reminds me of Blake Griffin, but at 6'6". Pretty much. Okay. You know, Josh Smith. Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, he doesn't have the height that these guys did. I mean, his ability to dunk and jump. Yeah, I mean, there's been 100 of those. Millions of those. I mean, you know, there's a reason like a player like, Harold Miner. 6'4" shooting guard. Yeah.
But not necessarily a shooter.
I know, but as I said, not necessarily a shooter, but you're a shooting guard, undersized at that point in the game. It wasn't really working when everybody was 6'6", 6'7", who was guarding. You're giving up too much height. So I really want to see how this works out for him. I mean, I'm not worried about his college. He's going to blast through college. This is going to be a cakewalk for him. It's, you know, translating your 6'6" power forward, translated into the NBA.
If you had to have one thing for him to focus on, what would it be? To get better at?
Just play with the ball. Learn how to dribble and create your own shots. Because in the NBA, you're going to be going up against Westbrooks and Klay Thompsons and, you know, the Jimmy Butlers. That's who you're going to be guarding.
But with his size, well, that's on the defensive end, but with his size.
But think about it. Think about what I'm saying. I called out all guards mm-hmm. who are still bigger than you. That's who you're going to be guarding. You're going to be guarding the Jimmy Butlers and, you know, the DeRozans and, you know, the John Walls and, you know, the Beals, the Kyries. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah, you got to be able to switch on everything.
No, because that's going to be your guy.
Right.
I mean, if you really think you're going to be guarding Greek the Freak, you know, the Ben Simmons, the Embiids. No, I'm sorry. That's not going to happen. Yeah, the Cousins, yeah, the KDs.
You're naming the best players in the NBA.
But I'm naming the position. I'm naming the positions.
But with his first step and his size, I mean, don't you think he would need – just add that, like the jab, a one dribble pull up where he can get a guy off him.
What I'm saying is –
he's not doing that yet, but I think that would help him.
He has no advantage against threes and fours. He has none.
45-inch vertical. I'll give him that.
Yeah, that 45-inch.
Use that for an advantage.
That 45. You have to actually get there at some point to the rim. So if you're trying to take Guinness off the dribble, he's with you. He has the advantage. By the time he jumps and you jump, he has the advantage because he has the length over you. If you're a guard, yeah, you're fucking unstoppable. But that's what I said. You're Westbrook. With more jumping power. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what I said. If he was a guard, he is a mega star.
The range, though.
It doesn't need range. That's what I said. He has the speed. He has the strength. If he was a point guard or two and he had the ball up top and he decides to go on any guard in the NBA, he's untouchable.
Okay.
Like, you see Westbrook. You can't stop the guy. Because you got to remember, his jumping ability from the top of the key by the time he hits the rim, you can't control it. Because he's already left his feet by the time he hit that lane. You're jumping straight up. His power is overpowering you.
Right.
He's going to put everyone in the rim if he was a guard. If you're trying to post people up and you think you're going to turn around and dunk on them at six, that's not going to happen. Mm. That's just not. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to bust your bubble on that, but that's not going to happen. You know, so him coming to the draft, I'm switching. If I'm him, I'm switching position. I'm going to work on my guard skills. So I'm going to sit with Andre Barrett and learn how to be a guard. And that's the problem with the Duke team is that they treat him like a power forward and not like he's a guard. Like, you know, if you're smaller than Cam and RJ and they're guards,
But Coach K, this new Coach K.
Fuck him.
And him adopting positionless basketball, he's in good hands.
That positionless.
Yeah, and we'll see him on Team USA in 5 years. And yeah. Good things ahead for Zion. But like any college player and any guy, you know, that is approaching the draft, there's always questions around their game. There's always things that you could pick apart for them. But this idea of the new deal for players to go from high school to the G League, prospects that the NBA will, I guess, come out with this list of who they are ranking as the top players coming out of high school that are eligible for $125,000 for a year of development in the G League. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think it'll be effective? Do you think it's a nice attempt for the NBA to sort of monetize amateurism?
I mean, it works because, you know, you're going to have players like, let's, you know, you got Darius Bazley, who probably won't play in the G League. Because he was also in a class with RJ, Cam, and Zion. So the fact that they're playing in college and he's not playing right now, I don't see how he plays in the G League next year when he can just enter the draft.
Well, he's sort of an outlier. So he was committed to Syracuse, decommitted, involved with Rich Paul, who got him this $1 million, quotes, internship. Mm-hmm. And also, by the way, it's a shoe deal with New Balance. Yeah. So that's where the $1 million is. And he is sitting out this year. So in 2019, he'll be 19 in June and can play in the G League.
Yeah, but if I'm him.
So he's a pioneer of sorts.
Not really, because think about it. The G League is offering 175, right? Mm-hmm. He was
125.
He was top 20 player in college, I mean, in high school. So he's a prospect. I can get drafted 55 and still make more than what I would make in the G League. And I still might end up in the G League, whatever team I get picked. So what is the point of signing him personally? What is the point of him signing with the G League next year when he can just enter the draft and be drafted? Like, he technically loses money going to the G League, because if he's not ready yet from that draft team, he will be in a G League anyway playing. So financially, if I'm him, I'm just entering the draft. And, you know, if I get picked in the first round, whoa, I'm a millionaire. Mm-hmm. If I get picked in the second round, whoa, I'm way above the G League.
Well, if you're in the second round, there's a good chance you'll be in the G League. If you're a lottery pick, that's when you know you're a lock for a roster.
But I'm saying is, think about it. The G League, I mean, the second round is a couple hundred thousand. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to the G League. Mm-hmm. Well, why am I signing 175 when I can get drafted at the end and still make more than
that? Well, because you're giving up that year from college, so the one and done, where you're not.
No, I know what next year is going to happen. I'm just talking about for him.
He's
not going to the G League.
He's going to be this poster boy.
Poster boy. He's not going to the G League because it would be retarded. everybody else coming out of high school, entering the G League instead of going to college. It all depends on who you are. Do you want the college experience and, you know, be around your peers and just enjoy what college life gives you, knowing you're going to go to the NBA anyway? Or do you want to go to the G League and be a pro already?
How many kids are that level of recruit that believe Sharif O'Neal? he wasn't the number one player in the country, but in his mind, he believes he is, and he believes he's going to be a lottery pick. So he's going to go to UCLA if he had played this year. Mm-hmm. And we said, hey, I'm going to show them what I have, and I'll be a top 1-2-3 pick based on what he believes in himself. Every player's got to be like that.
Yeah, okay, so with a player like Sharif, yeah, you might not have been a dominant high school player like the rest of them, but your skill level's there.
No, he was dominant, but not on the
radar. Right. But that's what I mean. But because of your skill set and your athleticism and your growth, if I'm him, I'm gonna enter the draft because I know my draft game. I mean, my NBA game will be better than my college and my high school game. Just because 6'10", I'm athletic. Once I start getting older, I'm going to translate better. So with a player like him, does he go to college or does he go to the G League? It all depends on what he wants.
But I think the question a lot of kids are going to be faced with is, do you take this money and are you, by sacrificing that year from college, giving up anything that would hurt your draft status or whatever?
Okay, we're going to just play devil's advocate here and pretend college players get paid. Okay. We're just going to pretend.
Wink.
Yeah. We're going to pretend they get paid. $175 to go to the G League or $175 to go to college, because that's basically what it is. You're going to get paid both the same going either way.
But not every player. You have to be the top 1-2 blue chip recruit.
Yeah. So,
I think that's what a lot of people are getting twisted. So if like, oh, I'm sixth man on Michigan, I'm not getting $175,000.
But if you're sixth man on Michigan, you already went to college. This is high school prospects, right?
No, but I'm getting recruited by Michigan. I know I'm not a starter. I know I'm going to probably play there for 4 years. I'm not thinking G League and money. It's a different status.
Yeah, G League ain't thinking you either, because you got to remember, you got to try out.
Right.
You got to try out also. So a few players will try, but at the end of the day, College is not going to mess up the program. You got to remember, most colleges have more money than the G League teams.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the G League pulls the top players, the top five, when any college can match them.
Because they can't legally match them because they haven't. Okay. I know what you're saying.
Again, because they can match whatever pay the G League decides to pay these colleges because they match them. They can give them something that the G League can't. National recognition. I can, if Zion and RJ and them were playing in a G League team, will they be getting a recognition? No, we don't even know when G League plays half the time.
Yeah, right. By the way, they're playing right now. We just had to
look. They are?
We had
to check. But that's what I'm saying. You don't know when they're playing. And I wouldn't. If I had to advise a kid to go to G League or college, the thing is, what do you want? No, either, if I say either way, you're going to be a pro no matter what. You're going to be a pro. What do you want to experience? Bad basketball in the G League, because guards are going to shoot every shot and do all that and, blah, blah, blah. Fight against guys who really don't have your best interest because they're still trying to make it too, because most of them been sitting there for 6 years.
Yeah.
So they don't, I'm pretty sure they don't like the idea that a high school kid is coming in and he's basically the star of this team. Or do you go to college where you're the definite star? So there's options. I mean, you have to weigh them both out. My question is if they go the G League route, who holds their rights?
They would, through the G League draft, the team that's affiliated that they get drafted by.
So that G League team.
So they're giving up that pick for a year that you have to develop in the G League. It's a minor league system, right? So if the Bulls draft you and use their pick at the eighth overall pick.
What do you mean? Wait. They wouldn't have a pick. What do you mean? Because they're in high school.
Right. So the Bulls affiliate, whatever their G League team name is.
Yeah, see, so the Bulls G League team, right?
Is taking a kid out of high school and saying, we're going to draft you number 8 overall based on your potential.
The G League team, yeah.
Right. And we're going to have you in the G League for that season.
Uh-huh. Okay. You can't
play for us next year. We have to wait a year on you.
No. You can't play for us right now.
Right.
Now this kid enters the draft, right? He still gets his draft right. Who? So he played for your Chicago, and then he enters the draft, and then he goes to the Lakers.
No, they would own your rights from that draft.
They can't own your rights.
Pretty sure they can.
They can't. So if Zion Williamson and RJ are number one and two, they're the top two in the country.
Right.
And they're on a G League team, and then they enter the draft, one and two. Your rights is 58. How does that work?
You'd have to give that up because you're saying that we're going
to. What I'm saying is your draft, on. Your Bulls draft. You got to remember, most teams, you got to remember, most of these teams, they're owned by multiple teams.
Some are, not all.
Some, but I said that some of them are. So some of these teams are owned by a couple teams. So if let's say the Chicago team has these two players and they enter the draft, but Chicago's actual draft pick is number, 58, these guys ain't going to be around at no goddamn 58.
Actually, I think every team has a G League.
So I don't think the G League owns any rights. I just think it's a pit stop. I don't think a G League team will own any of these kids' rights. You can't, because if they're entering the draft, they're entering to be drafted by someone. So if he's a number one player, but your pick is not number one, you don't own his rights. Which is kind of bad too, because you can try to downplay a kid's talent so he can reach your draft pick. Your season will be going on by the time you're.
But back to what you were saying about playing with those guys that have been in the G League for 6 years and they're trying to work their way up. It's basically like a season of the combine where everyone's playing just to improve themselves.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't around when I was playing. we just had IR, injury reserve. Just sit your ass on this goddamn
bench. CBA though, right, too?
Huh?
CBA was around, right?
Chinese Basketball League?
Continental Basketball Association.
I don't know.
That was basically the NBA's version of a minor league for a while. Didn't make money, so they.
I never heard of it.
It was around for a long time.
Was it?
Yeah, and no. That was never affiliated with the team.
Oh.
So it didn't get the attendance, and I think that was what the D League experienced. And then the NBA got involved and said, "Hey, look, we can have a farm system, and the NCAA is a mess right now. If we can get attention to the G League and make money off of it." We'll have a viable farm system for players to develop, and they won't wash out or go overseas.
The problem with the farm system is, what has the farm produced?
Well, you have college basketball. That's really their unofficial farm system, but it wasn't affiliated with.
But that's
the NBA.
What I'm saying is what has your farm produced?
We've had some call ups. I think guys like. Kid Ferguson in Oklahoma. I mean,
you have solid players. Sessions come out of
there. It's a good place to stash a guy, I think, that you're saying.
Stash a guy, develop a guy, or someone you didn't notice who didn't have it yet that year, but he worked on his game, and then boom, he sprouted. Like, that's just like somebody like Sessions, that he was in a G League, and then you called him up, and he just instant ready.
Right. It's not necessarily a place to build superstars, but it's a place to build role players,
which is bad. How do you get tension if you're only creating role players?
Well, what they're doing now with investing now
with the new way you're trying to go get some of these college players that are sneaky good and their developing skills hasn't kicked in yet, and then they come out of your program and you created a superstar and an all-star out of the G League, now you got something going for yourself. Which will happen in the system, because I did went back all the way like to 2004 in the high school rankings, and majority of your number ones and your top five picks, majority of them were not superstars in the NBA. There's only a few like your LeBrons, and like when you look at the Chris Pauls and the Westbrooks and these guys, they wasn't top 10.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
Yeah, like they wasn't ranked top 10.
Yeah, because guys believe the hype about themselves too much too early.
They just peaked too early and didn't realize that they still needed to get better because So they will create superstar players. They will create superstars because they're going to be getting players that are not really top 10 in the high school level that just hasn't peaked yet. So they were still like they were still somebody like a Curry who wasn't ranked in high school, or somebody like Westbrook who wasn't really ranked in high school, and then get him in a system, and then they just flourish. So it'll look like, oh my God, look what the G League is doing now. You know.
But you know, it's like college baseball. Who goes and plays college baseball for 4 years that actually makes it to the MLB? Like, you don't go to Arizona State, play for 4 years, and then you're, you know, Bryce Harper. Those guys, they go to play college. If they go for a year or two, maybe those guys will go to play baseball. But the farm system in Major League Baseball, they draft you straight out of high school.
All they're doing is just taking all the talent.
It's been like that forever.
Yeah, but that's what I said. They're just taking all the talent first.
Right.
Before it hits the...
But what that can do for you is, say I go play Major League Baseball for 10 years, mm-hmm. and I never really make money. I'm stuck in the farm system, and I'm 28, and oh shit, I got to go get a real job, and I didn't go to college, and I didn't prepare myself for anything but baseball.
Yeah, that happens.
That happens. So I think that was always the question around, you know, amateur basketball, and also the idea of taking care of your family. If you can be a lottery pick, if you're 17, 18, and you're projecting that way, hey, maybe I just go for a year.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I said.
I can do a lot with that money.
The thing is, if you're not a top five recruit, a top 10, top 15, it's like, when does the scale of 175 started going down? You know,
I don't think it applies to those guys. You have to be at that level coming out of high school.
If you're only paying 150 to 175 to the top 10 players in college, or that's projected in high school, then your system is not working anyway. But because if you do your research, you will realize that most of the superstars in the NBA, most. Like, if you take the All-Star game last year and you had to split it down the middle, it's probably 50 and 50.
Guys that were high-level recruits. 50%
is high-level recruits. The other 50 weren't.
Projects, right.
You know, so you got your LeBron James. But you got to remember, there was
Steph, Clay.
Remember, yeah. There was LeBron James. There were also a number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in that class. Where are they? Because Chris Paul is the second best player from that class. No. Not his draft class. I'm talking about his high school class. Yeah. Yeah. His high school class, Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Is the second best player in that high school class. And he was 13. So that means there were 11 other people between him and LeBron that just didn't pan out.
But you know what they're also doing is they're incentivizing those highly rated prospects that's saying, okay, you want to get to the NBA. We know you're on that track. But you're going to play here for a year and see what it's like to grind it out and learn to be a professional rather than going to an elite program where you go to Kentucky, you get a private jet. You don't really have to go to class. You know, it's a hotel where their practice facility is, where they have all the resources like and everything this. That you need. They're not in an old, sweaty old field house like it used to be.
I'm thinking about it now. If I'm a top 20 recruit, I'm getting paid in college.
Yes.
And I'm going to be the man in college. I'm not going to the G League.
You mean you don't
want to I'm not going to be fucking riding buses.
You want to go play for the Delaware Bluecoats?
No, I'm just like...
The Erie BayHawks.
No, think about it. If I can be the man on campus at a college, get everything free and yeah. all the girls, you know, whatever, and I'm the guy. Why would I go to the G League and be on the bus and be that? Like that, you got to remember.
The NBA doesn't have groupies, I don't think.
They probably do, but it's got to remember. It's not the NBA. It's the RC Cola of Cola, you know? So there's flaws. That means there's buses everywhere. Most of the places are in bad cities. Trust me, college is probably 10 times better than what the G League has to offer. So
you're in Iowa, you're in Maine, you're in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Stockton, California. Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
The CBA. John Starks is a great CBA success story. Played in the CBA, obviously became a Knicks hero for a time. Phil Jackson coached in the CBA.
Hey, listen, before. Nobody wants to talk about basketball in the 70s.
No. This was 84.
So, okay, 84
70s season, and it 80s. Resurgence. Yeah. A lot of guys put in their time in the CBA.
Yeah.
Surprised he didn't know about it.
Oh, yes. The ABA, CBA. Yes.
No, ABA was...
No. I mean ABA. But now when you hear CBA, you think China Basketball Association.
That's what
you,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
But yeah, this was...
That's the problem. That was the thing. The 80s and 90s, yeah. CBA, ABA, and all that. Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of guys came through there, spent time there. Speaking of other leagues, we saw their the Ball family made their own league. and guy, you know, LaMelo. Young guy, you know well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Made this move to go back to college, actually in Ohio, the Spire Institute. Like you said, you've had conversations with him. Got a lot of potential. Obviously, a lot of eyeballs on him because of his family. What do you think about this move? What is he going to do here?
Yeah, I've you know, me and him, you know, we've spoken, you know. Funny kid. He's funny. He's funny.
I think he's the personality of the family.
Yeah. He's the most talented.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most talented out of the group. I was never really worried about him. You know, it was more Jello because, you know, he was that undersized guy.
The tweener. But what did Melo want to know from you? What were the kind of things he was looking to
learn? No, he was just conversation. He wasn't looking for anything of, you know, nothing like that. It was just, you know... Because, you know, I've always, you know, put him high, you know, that, you know, I think he's the best player of the family. He's going to be the best player for him. And right now he's listed at 6'7". And I'm pretty sure he's probably 6'6", 6'7", point guard, high-level score. So the fact that he's 17, 18, he missed this year, junior year of high school.
Well, he played in... Lithuania.
So he went to Lithuania, averaged, you know, 6-2 coming off the bench. At that point, it was just an experience. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no gauge for me because it's like he's a 17-year-old kid. They're not going to, you know, this is more of a learning experience for him. And then, you know, LeVar, you know, did the JBL and he averaged against his peers 39-14-11. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's finally going back to high school, so we can actually officially rank where he is against the peers is very important for him. Because I mean, at this point, not knowing is probably what's killing him. Like, you know, he's not like, I'm pretty sure he's probably ranked one or two in his class, but no one's ranked him there yet. And he has all the skill sets. I mean, he has the NBA game, the wild game, the shoot first, you know.
Shoot from anywhere.
Yeah, you know, that type of basketball you pay to see. So him making it to the NBA is not a question. You know, he has the height. He has the ability. He has, like, what I used to say on some of the posts is, he's better than Zoe. You know, sorry, but he is.
Sure, that's fine.
Better point guard. Guard. Look, I say, like, he has what Zoe needs.
I'd say he's a better scorer than Zoe.
He has.
Right?
If you see Zoe is
the distributor.
If you see his passing, he passes better than Zoe.
Oh, better? You think better than Zoe?
Okay, Zoe passes. Mm-hmm. He creates better. The flashiness, he tries stuff Zoe just would never try. Throwing the ball behind the back, wrapping it between his legs. I mean, throwing the ball off the backboard to a lob. I mean, he does what you like. Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You said it, his personality. Zoe is like the point A to point B guy.
Yeah, you know.
Bread and butter where
Zoe is
Melo is going to be more creative.
Zoe is safe. You know, Zoe is a safe player. You know, you want a steady guy who's never going to make a mistake. You got Zoe. You got a guy who's going to average, you know, 11 assists, maybe 5 turnovers, maybe 30 assists.
That's him.
30 assists.
No, the way he plays, he might get you 20 assists. He might get you 10 turnovers, but that's his style.
Yeah, I live with that.
And that's the type that will be picked high. in the draft.
But this move back to high school in the States at the Spire Academy, Spire Institute in Ohio, is going to help his ranking, is going to help his stock to go to the next level. Like, clearly that is the move that he's making here.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, much about the high school in Ohio. I don't know why the hell he's going all the way.
Well,
they
got that kid that a popsicle stick with arms and legs, that 7'7" kid. It looks like things outside of a car dealership.
Melo ain't giving him the ball.
Why not? He's above the rim on his wingspan alone.
Melo is a scorer.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
and he's going to always be one.
But he'll find creative ways to work with this giant.
It's just trying to figure out his next step. You know, I don't think he wanted to go to overseas anymore. You know, that's for a young kid. That's kind of too much. The JBL is over, you know, so now he has to play somewhere. You know, so the fact that he got back in high school, I'm pretty sure he's going to average 35, probably lead the nation in scoring. You know, he's going to be there. And then after this year, he's going to have to find something else to do.
Well, he could be the guy that they build this G League rule.
LeVar's not putting his son in G League. LeVar is not putting his son in G League. I mean, can he enter the draft next summer?
Yeah. No, not next summer, because he's only 17, right?
Yeah, but...
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he'll still...
Yeah.
Wait, he just turned 17, right? Or is he 18 yet? No, I think he's 17. Yeah, he's 17.
Yep.
Yeah, he's 17.
So he'll be 18 in August.
Yeah, so the draft is already before his 18th birthday.
Right.
That's the problem with him is he has too much talent and too young and don't know where to put it.
Oh man, that's a problem to have.
Because he can't go to college. His college is over. So basically it's play this year in high school, let everybody see I am the real deal. And then after that, we got to see what LeVar's going to do. And then at some point, 2020, into the draft.
Yeah, LeVar's been very quiet lately.
That's a good thing.
Well, yeah. I think so. With Lonzo and LeBron, that whole circus
they needed the hype last year, and I thought it was perfect form. For Zoe's sake, I think VAR needs to come back.
Oh, for his? I thought he kind of hurt him, and I think having LeBron around could be a presence better suited to help his future.
Have you seen Zoe lately?
I saw when he was...
He needs his father. He needs the hype.
His father's there, but...
I mean, he needs...
He's busy. He's a reality star. He's got... You know, find some work for... LiAngelo and he's got Melo in high school. He's a busy guy.
LeVar is Zoe's confidence.
Yeah, but Zoe made it.
Yeah, but you're not playing.
He's an adult.
You're not
a pro.
You're not playing well. Mm-hmm. You're not playing good. You played well when your daddy hyped you up. We need the hype machine back. We just need it back because personally, it was like little Penny to Penny Hardaway. You know, you need that fuel because I'm looking at Zoe right now more because of the way they're playing him. He's more of a shooting guard now than he is a point guard, and that kind of is hurting. It's hurting him and, you know, Rondo. Rondo fits better with the starting unit. Bringing Zoe off the bench to make him run that second unit and play that fast style that he likes to play is better on a second unit. The fact that he has to give the ball up and he has to sit in the corner and shoot threes, you took away his game. Now you hurt Rondo because Rondo fits better with pros. He's playing the two.
Right.
As a starter. And he's shooting threes, and that's basically all he's doing. Mm-hmm. Sitting there, catching, shooting threes. That's not his skill level. So the fact that you have him at the starting lineup, you hurt Zoe. Rondo's coming off the bench, you hurt Rondo. Flip-flop him, play them both at what they excel at. Rondo with the veteran unit, he was averaging 13 and 10. Zoe coming off the bench, he excelling. Now that you have them flip-flop where they're both falling off, now you wonder why your team is struggling.
So is that on LeBron to take Zoe under his wing or Rondo?
Rondo. He's more Rondo than he is LeBron. He needs to watch what Rondo does. But, you know, at the end of the day, he is what he is. He's more of a passer than a creator. You know, Rondo is a creator. So when Rondo gets the ball, because he can't shoot, he doesn't settle for the three. He's going to drive in, get in, he creates opportunities in the half court. Zoe is, he creates opportunities in a fast break. So when that half court shrinks, Zoe becomes a three-point shooter. Rondo becomes, I need to get into these crevices and pass the ball. So the fact that, you know, you have Rondo, you have Zoe out there just chucking threes up, like 70% of his shots this year, threes. That's how he ended last year when IT was playing. He became the shooting guard, mm-hmm. you know, in a sense. And you're hurting his game by doing that.
And bringing it back to college versus the pros and like these Duke kids and with Zoe, we saw at UCLA what kind of player he is when he's at his best, when he's unleashed.
He was a shooting guard in college too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's getting him back to where he's comfortable and what they drafted him to be. But also to know that when you play in the NBA, you're playing with grown men and pros, and it's not going to be what it was in college.
You know, it's actually, to think about it, when you sit here and think about it, in high school, LaMelo, their senior year, LaMelo was the point guard. Zoe was the shooting guard. UCLA, the coach's son was the point guard. Zoe was the shooting guard, but he made passes mm-hmm. as a point because he has the vision. He excels better when he shoots better when he's spot shooting as a two guard.
Yeah.
As a coach, you need to actually look at that and
I wonder if that's what Magic yelled at Luke about. Or Luke knows that. And Magic
if you're forced to play a person like, you know, as a coach, sometimes from the upper board, you're forced to play people yep. how you play them. You know, and that's the bad part about coaching is that the person upstairs makes the decision on your team as a coach. So it kind of puts your handicap a little bit.
Politics, man.
I mean, they got Tyson Chandler. I heard J.R. Smith is trying to come. So we'll see what happens with this team in the next 20 games.
Oh, for sure they're going to get other guys.
Yeah.
They're not done. But it's a process.
Yeah, everything's a process.
Just a process.
I mean, you know, I didn't expect them to start off great anyway. You know, you got too many new pieces.
People in L.A. definitely hype things up. They wanted the best, but it's around 500 now.
Yeah. I mean, they're fine. They're fine. They're going to be fine once they hit their stride. I remember,
what's the number if they hit wins? 45.
Nah, they'd at least hit 50.
Yeah, okay. Probably.
I mean, when LeBron was in Cleveland, I mean, when he got to Miami that first year, all new players. They started off 8-8.
Yeah, I mean,
22-game winning streak after
that. Right. They had the talent and the experience to make that adjustment.
It's just
this team is kind of
like, if you look at all the teams right now, think about all the teams in NBA right now mm-hmm. that are struggling.
Mm-hmm. It's early.
They're struggling early. Because all the new pieces.
Yep.
You know, you got Houston.
Yep.
You got
Wizards.
They shouldn't be struggling though. They shouldn't have been. They only added one new piece.
Okay, but
you got Boston.
They're not struggling.
Yeah, they're
underachieving right now.
They're right at 500. Yeah. I mean, you.
I don't think they're worried. I don't think anybody in Boston's worried about them. They're just the Celtics. I don't think anybody in Boston is worried about the Celtics not turning.
They should be. Hmm. They should, because exactly what I said was going to happen happened. Terry, you cannot rewind him back. Mm-hmm. He was a star last year. Mm-hmm. He held that team down. He averaged, as a starter, about 21. Kyrie averaged 24.
And who's all the trade talk about
now? But that's what I'm saying. As an organization, you really have to sit here and think about this move.
I think they know that. What are you saying? To not trade him?
He averaged 21-6. Yeah. 21-7 as a starter. Kyrie averaged 24-5. Is Kyrie $200 million better?
Or
because
you got to
remember,
you know what? This here's what we're gonna find out. If they move him, if they don't move him, they know Kyrie might be out. If they hang on to him, they ignore all offers.
But
no matter
again,
what they get.
If I'm making a decision, if I have to trade someone, 21-6. am I going to get back what he's really worth? No. Not at all. You trade Kyrie, you're going to get back a superstar. Mm. So that's what I'm saying.
But will Kyrie sign there, or is he one of
them? I don't, as an organization, think about what I'm saying. I don't care. I'm thinking.
I would.
You're three points and two assists worse than this backup guard.
But let's say you trade Rozier.
You're going to get.
And then Kyrie is gone this summer. Yeah, nothing.
What I'm thinking is that if I'm going to keep Rozier, that means I don't want Kyrie anymore. If I try to trade Terry, I'm not going to get superstar value for him because he doesn't have the name. So me trading him, I'm losing here. Well, if I trade Kyrie, I can get back a stud. Well, at the guard position, all I need is a solid player. I get back Anthony Davis for Kyrie and I have Terry, I win. Well, if I keep Tyree and I trade him and I get back fucking Luol Deng, I lose. That's a bad trade.
Yeah, I think Danny Ainge is more of a maverick.
So it depends, because you got to remember, right now, they proved last year that they don't need Kyrie or Haywood. So if you can get rid of both of them and bring back the value that their names bring, you're better off than letting Brown and Terry go for nobody. That's just me personally.
We'll find out. I mean,
but right now they should be worried, because now you have one guy is unhappy, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be another one. Because you got to remember, once they tasted that filet mignon, baby, they can't go back. They can't go back to Hamburger Helper. She a talk to me, and he a talk to she. But the day is coming that we must meet personally. She a talk to me, and he a talk to she. But the day is coming that we must meet personally. She a talk to me, and he a talk to she. But the day is coming that we must meet personally.